Right, good evening everyone and welcome to Chelsea Echo's review of Chelsea 3, Brighton and Hove Albion 2. And you may have already recognised it's a different voice hosting, and that is because Louis is at the darts this week. So unfortunately for you, you'll hear more of me and less slash none of him. But I am joined with obviously Tobes once again as usual, and producer Jordan is stepping up in Louis's absence. So you still have three voices. And we've got a very busy week, obviously, with midweek games too. But first, we'll talk about the Brighton game. And, well, it was far from easy, as we found out the hard way yesterday with that red card from Conor Gallagher just before half-time. But Chelsea, like the good old days, found a way to win and got three very important points. Another captain's red card, though, which we will talk about later. And despite a good start, it was a difficult game, but then a late flurry from Brighton, especially with 15 minutes of stoppage time and the referee against us once again due to a very interesting handball decision. Thank God for VAR for a change. It was difficult, but Enzo's at his best. We closed the gap with European places and we're here now celebrating a win after a very miserable trip up north the week before. So, without further ado, it's time to hear some other voices and get a general kind of vibe of how they were feeling. I'll come to you, Tobes, first, because I think you were pretty relieved.
Yeah, that was a stressful watch. It was a very stressful, especially because it didn't seem so. For the first like 30, 40 minutes, I was really happy with us across the board. We had goals that looked like they came from the training ground, little back post moves from corners. It was everything was going swimmingly, but we can't have everything easily and nice. It had to descend into chaos, and Buonanotte scored, which was, I thought we could have defended a little bit better, but then even then we bounced back. Mudryk had a cross where Steele made a good save from Jackson, and Gallagher, I don't know what Gallagher was playing at. I don't know what we're feeding our captains. I don't know what either of them have been thinking the past 2 weeks. Both needless red cards. It should have cost us the game against Brighton. It didn't cost us the game, which is what was so relieved. But the referee, he made it very, very stressful. To be honest, I thought he was fucking shocking. I didn't have any problems with that red card, but the fact that he didn't give the penalty initially, and I thought that's a red card in itself, Milner's thing, because he didn't go to play the ball. He played the Mudryk, didn't even go near the ball. So it is a red card by default, by the rules. How comes I know the rules better than a fucking referee's? Anyone's question. And then a handball penalty for hitting him in the face that he had no hesitation to give, but for VAR to at least send him to the screen. I don't know why VAR couldn't have been in his ear just telling him, What are you thinking? What are you looking at here? But yeah, it was a stressful game, but I like beating them. They're very loud for a very tin pot small club.
I like the way you called it the bull and then the Mudryk, as if he's some kind of object.
But he's some sort of instrument.
The Mudryk, a Ukrainian soul guitar or something. But it was an important break from the Mudryk. As it was kind of our only real break in the second half, as we were kind of really up against it with 10 men. Jordan, how important do you think, and how impressive, I suppose, do you think that win is in the grand scheme of things, given how young the squad is and how naive they are, as we've discussed before?
Yeah, referencing what we've sort of been through already this year with them, I was, the moment Gallagher saw red, walked off the pitch, heart drops. I'm thinking, oh God, here we go again. Typical Chelsea. Just carnage, like Tobe said. I thought they dug in really well, to be honest. I was really surprised, happily surprised, and relieved, because they did well to get themselves 2-0 up early. Two not so amazing goals, but we'll take them, of course. And then, yeah, the moment Gallagher got sent off, I thought it would all go kind of to shit, really. But they did well, I thought.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, we've kind of mentioned the goals we've scored. Tobes mentioned them kind of as being training ground goals. Obviously, we scored two in 4 minutes in the 17th and the 21st minute. Enzo Fernandez and Levi Cole were both coming from, well, set pieces, balls into the box, with Benoit Badiashile with an acrobatic sort of bicycle kick assist, followed by Jackson.
Very generous. It was good, though. Yeah. It was good.
Got to be generous to BB after I slandered him the week before. And Nico Jackson, inspired by other events that we may or may not discuss later on, with an assist for Levi Cole, who then decided not to properly celebrate against Brighton, which kind of really annoyed me, I'm not going to lie. Tobes, you're one who always talks about the fact that Brighton thought they owned Levi Cole when obviously he went on loan. How did you feel when you sort of didn't celebrate properly after initially feeling like he was going to?
It was frustrating because we got a bit of pre-cum celebration, didn't we? We had him sort of give it beans and then realise who it was against and calm down a little bit. I'd rather have just given it, go full Adebayor. I know you had a nice time on loan there, but you're Chelsea now, Levi. But at least he's got his first goal. I'm sure he'll be celebrating the next. I enjoyed Big Bob giving it beans to the Brighton fans at the end of the game a lot. There was a lot of, you know, they're sitting there booing a man that's got them 115 million, booing a keeper they weren't even playing. They got them 20 odd million, and I enjoyed him giving it to them. And he also gave the ball to Sterling to create that transition that we got the pen from. I thought Big Bob actually had a good game, and he's been a bit nervy for me the last few weeks, so that's good.
Yeah, especially against your old club, you always want to have a good game, and I feel like it always goes one or two ways. So it was good to see him have a good performance. Obviously Levi as well, and Caicedo, maybe not so much, but we'll come to that a little bit later on. So 2-0 up after 21 minutes. We're kind of in dreamland. It's sort of exactly how I thought the game might go, that it would just be too much for Brighton after obviously a trip to Athens a few days before and with their squad quite thin at the moment due to injuries and suspensions. But then we had a bad few minutes. Buonanotte, good night, said good night to Levi Cowell and put it in the back of the net past Sanchez, and it was 2-1 in the 43rd minute. And then, as we've alluded to a few times already, Conor Gallagher decided he didn't want to play the second half and lunged in with a very interesting tackle when you're on a yellow, probably an interesting tackle when you're not on a yellow, on Billy Gilmore, and was fairly, I think, sent off. We've spoken about obviously Reece James last week, Conor Gallagher this week. That's 2 weeks in a row Chelsea have struggled for a decent period of a game due to a red card for the captain. Why are we doing this, Jordan? What are we doing?
I think it's the classic excuse of them being naive, not seeing the game off. You know, back in the day, growing up, watching Mourinho's Chelsea get 2-0 up, John Obi comes on, closes the game out. There's just no room for error, no mistakes. The moment we get 1-0 up even, the game's done. There's no team coming back from that. And nowadays, I think you could get Chelsea up 2, even 3-0, and it just feels like the game's still there for the other team to come straight back into it. By the way, what an absolute goal from Buonanotte, by the way. I thought that was such an underrated finish, right in the bottom corner. I thought Sanchez had a pretty good game apart from that. I don't think he could have done a whole lot about that one.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, we've spoken... It's actually interesting you mentioned there, the kind of going a few goals or two goals ahead. Obviously, I'm thinking there, Arsenal, 2-0 up. Didn't finish that one off. Here, 2-0 up. Ended up being a very nervy end to the game. Is that something that comes from sort of immaturity, naivety in the team? Or is that more of an underlying issue that maybe needs ironing out quicker?
It's a bit of complacency, really, isn't it? That's what worries me a bit more with this team. Like you said, it's naive, but it's complacent. The Arsenal one sums it up. It epitomises it. We were cruising that game and they were doing absolutely zero. But there is this naivety amongst a lot of those younger players, and I do understand that to a degree. But I'd expect more from Reece and Connor in the past 2 weeks. I just think they were so unnecessary. I mean, we've got strikers chasing tits, and we've got captains playing like them. It's not ideal. It's very avoidable. Like you said, Billy Gilmore was going nowhere. He was going absolutely nowhere. He didn't need to slide in. And even the first challenge, he didn't need to be going in like that. But Connor does have that in him. I remember a red card he had against Leicester last season. And while charging around the pitch at 90 miles an hour is actually one of his strong points, it's also a weakness in a way. He doesn't hold back enough sometimes. And that's something that will, you'd like to think comes with experience, to not get these silly yellows, because we are the most booked team in the league and we're not a dirty team by any means. That's the thing.
No, that's actually almost something that we've said before that we've lacked, is someone like a Rudiger or, you know, someone like a Sergio Ramos-esque character to just kind of take the yellow and do that. We don't really do that. Our yellows are purely from, well, either Nico Jackson not keeping his mouth shut around refs or captains deciding to hack people. Obviously, there are others as well, but those are two prime examples that we've seen a few of. Gallagher sent off, obviously, just before half time, as we've said a few times. That meant a whole second half under pressure, and that ended up being quite a lot longer than normal 45 minutes, as we then played, in the end, a whole 15 minutes of stoppage time. which must be the long actually must be the longest this season with no reason for a delay. That's insane numbers, and with 10 men to obviously keep that is impressive. And in the end, we finished the game with just 32% possession. We conceded 18 shots, and I suppose basically we're basically fighting for our lives, really, which is good to see, because I think that's something that we've all been a bit worried about, that maybe we wouldn't see as much this season. But and that one break, as Tobes already said, from the Mudrick, and he earned the penalty. Enzo slotted it coolly home, puts it up back up to 3-1, and then it does look like maybe we will be able to see this out. But in the 92nd minute, Joao Pedro scores 3-2, and we still had 8 minutes at the time of stoppage time. It was meant to be to plus 10 added on, but then the penalty late on and the VAR and all that nonsense made 15 minutes in the end of stoppage time. Finally, we could draw breath, celebrate a big win. Let's talk about that penalty. You've already kind of gone into it a bit, Tobes, on how it was basically just hit him straight in the face, but why does a referee give that, and is it something where a team's on top at the end and referees almost want to give that kind of penalty?
Oh, he wanted it. He wanted it all game. That every like I just thought every time they went down, he gave everything. The other way, not so much. Like I said, VAR had to intervene on the penalty where Milner took his legs out. Like I don't know. I just thought it was one of those cases where you knew what he wanted, and he saw a man get hit in the face and just went for a pen. It was actually a good highlight and advertisement for VAR in the fact that a team could have ended up drawing that game on the basis of headering a ball. But what was more telling was afterwards a drop ball was awarded, and there was a lot of confusion about it. And actually a lot of people finger pointing, saying they don't know what they're doing in that sense. That's actually part of the rules. If a penalty is given, the moment where the incident occurs, a drop ball has to be given. But the reason we don't know anything about that is because referees have become so dependent on VAR that they don't actually make their own decisions, and they just leave it to VAR to tell them, like, you need to have a look at this or whatever it is. So they don't often have to reverse penalties. But he was so eager to give this one, and it was one of the least cases you could point at where there's even, a shred of doubt.
Another interesting weekend for officials in the Premier League, obviously. Simon Hooper with another excellent moment last night, and others as well throughout the weekend.
It wasn't even the worst one of the day, or of like the 3 hour span, which is what's even more mind blowing with it.
Obviously, stepping now into kind of deeper analysis of that win. Obviously, we've kind of said it the last 3 months really, in every preview for pretty much every game, how much each game means for this team and this club, especially after such a dire year last year. This win, obviously very important with Brighton in the position they are in and us where we were, but also with the actual circumstance of the game, down to 10 men, etc. for so long. How much does that kind of win show of our character and show that perhaps this team is kind of growing up a bit?
Yeah, it's good seeing some resilience, and it was a different kind of resilience. Like City I enjoyed because they fought back multiple times from losing positions. I enjoyed Spurs to a different degree because after the red card it changed the game, and this was kind of that, but in reverse. And in Spurs, it was about coming back from 1-0 down with 11 men at that point. I was happy with that show of resilience. This was different because it was our turn to have the red card, to be down numbers and dig in. And they really dug in. I thought Thiago Silva and Enzo were kind of my standout players from Sunday's game. But I also thought across the board, the defence was awesome. There was a lot of clearances, a lot of bodies on the line. A lot of good reading of things, because you can't really name loads of Brighton chances where you thought, oh, thank fuck they didn't score from that. There was maybe one shot where João Pedro's goal came from that corner anyway, where Sanchez made a save. Other than that, it was a lot of things I was happy with from the keeper in terms of like collecting crosses, but there wasn't loads of saves to be made. There was a very good challenge from Thiago Silva on Matoma, I think it was, where it was high traffic in the box. But other than that, it was a case of just digging in, sitting deep and making the most of it when we could. And we did from one of their corners. We broke and got that penalty. So there was a sense of pride about this performance because it drew a bit of a line under Newcastle. They actually, with 11 men, they were clearly the better team and playing really well. And they had some chances on top of their goals. And then when the going got tough, they actually, showed that resilience that we've been looking forward to seeing. So hopefully that can continue. There will be hiccups in the road, I'm sure. That was what was so disappointing with Newcastle. It just felt like a big few steps back in a team that had started to, give you some belief.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, Thiago Silva was a player that I certainly, and I think you kind of sort of echoed it as well, but particularly me, I was quite harsh on after Newcastle because I thought he was really poor. And I thought that's the kind of performance that maybe a less established player doesn't get picked for the week after, but obviously he is who he is, and he does, and he played well, and he made up for it, and that's kind of how he's always gone. We mentioned, or you mentioned last week, West Brom and that kind of disaster class, but then he always came back and obviously ends up lifting the Champions League and becoming the club legend that he has. So, you know, class is permanent, and that showed through both him and Enzo, who obviously opposite ends of the kind of age spectrum, but in terms of quality, I think they're pretty similar really in their respective brackets. And on to Enzo, obviously back to his best after a couple of weeks where he didn't quite have the influence that he has had in other games. Jordan, how special a player is he when he can kind of really get going?
Well, we all know how I feel about Enzo from putting him in my all-time Chelsea 11 that time at the barbecue after playing only about four games for us. I think the kid's an absolute baller. He is so, so good. I think we haven't even seen 20% of the player that he can be. I think he's just going to be such an enormous part of Chelsea Football Club over the next, hopefully, 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm kind of on the same, well, on the opposite end of the brilliance of Enzo. We had the sort of, how do I put it, mediocrity maybe of Caicedo. Not quite working things at the moment for him. He's not been necessarily poor, but he's not quite been sort of maybe the player we thought he might be, Tobes.
Yeah, it was a weird one with Caicedo because I'd say up to the red card, I was really happy with him as well. I actually thought he was nicking the ball well. There's a few nervy times, or they seem nervy times in terms of our build-up, but Brighton pressed very high, and I think we actually gained a lot from playing out the back. Sometimes it's a stressful watch, but Caicedo was a big part of that in terms of bringing a bit more comfortability on the ball. So I do think there were aspects he did well, but as the game progressed, it like you touched on in terms of playing your old club can go one or two ways, and it felt like it started to lean towards the other a bit. There was a couple of challenges he put in where I was thinking, keep your head. Although today I did find out it was Badia Shield that was booked and not Caicedo, so maybe I was overly pranging about Caicedo getting a second yellow when he didn't have a first yellow. But saying that, there were, yeah, it was just a couple of little sloppy things here and there. And like you said, in terms of settling in, not that he's been bad or anything by any means, but I can count the amount of times on one hand that I've been really impressed by his performance, whereas Enzo came in and you immediately could see the quality and the gap in some of the players we had playing for us last season and him. It's been a bit less notable with Caicedo, but perhaps he's a bit more of one of those background working type players anyway, so it's a bit less open to the eyes and we'll just get used to him over time. But I'm sure he'll improve. Like you said, it's just a case of we haven't quite seen as much yet.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's kind of it, really, isn't he? Maybe he is just one of those players that you perhaps don't really want to notice because he kind of does the dirty work that you sort of don't want to see. But I think it's maybe another one of those again. That price tag, people are always going to look for that sort of 10 out of 10 performance, and they're very difficult to come by. But with Enzo, we've got a player who is capable of delivering them, and he pretty much did deliver one against Brighton, which was great to see. And again, a performance like this, we've spoken about it before with Man City, with Spurs, and then it took sort of two, three, four steps back against Newcastle. Is this, again, the foundation of something going forward? Obviously, Man United on Wednesday. Is this something we can build off in terms of maybe the resilience and the fact that we've grinded out 3 points there when perhaps we didn't have the right to do so?
I hope so. I fucking hope I'm not going up to Manchester to watch us play like we did against Newcastle in the second half. There's no reason for them not to, but there was no reason for them not to against Newcastle. However, I didn't even mind how they started that game. Maybe it was just a bit of a weird one, the Thiago era, and then everything kind of combines to just make a big shit sandwich. In this case, hopefully, they go to United and they play how we know they can play. United aren't very good. Hopefully, they don't sit back too much, because I'm a bit more worried about our fixtures after United. I think we've touched on it a while back, but yeah, the low blocks is what scares me. I haven't seen them deal with those yet, so that's the real question, because we've done quite well in this fixture run. When you actually look at it, all for what it's worth, Spurs away, win, City at home, draw, Newcastle away, loss, and a win at home to Brighton. It's actually a decent amount of points, skewed by the fact that a lot of the season at the start we weren't as happy with. So yeah, it's just about problem solving. And hopefully, in this case, we solve the problem of putting a couple, you know, back-to-back consistent performances.
Just referencing what Tobe said about the fixture run, I think everyone was dreading it, and it hasn't actually been too bad, I think. I think it's one of those things that you can't sort of create confidence out of nowhere. Confidence comes from doing, sort of getting little wins here and there, just good things happening. And the more they happen, the more the confidence builds up. It's why you see sort of insecure boxers telling the other person, oh, I'm going to knock you out, all this kind of thing. And then they get in there and shit themselves. You know, it's, you can't sort of, you can't just pull confidence out of the air. It has to be made and built. And I'm hoping that's something the boys are doing. I'm starting to see some good football coming out of them now.
That's what we want to see. Definitely what we want to see. But it's a good point there in terms of the football we're playing actually has been pretty good. Even in the Newcastle game, there were bits of it where we played quite well. But that comes on to kind of the last bit of the analysis, really. Any risk of a nice, easy win? I feel like Luton aside, there haven't been many games really we can sit here and go, oh, yeah, that was comfortable. Any risk of a nice, comfortable win?
No, it's not Chelsea. It's just not us. Like, we're not going to have that nice, easy game. Like, Brighton looked like it was going to be that, and then what'd you get?
Yeah, exactly. Fair enough. That's Chelsea then. And that kind of concludes this review of the Chelsea Echoes, review of the 3-2 win over Brighton. It was not easy. It was at times not pretty, but we did grind out 3 valuable points. As always, we've been a Highway 61 production. Go and check out the blueprint if you want to kind of look back at the history of Chelsea. And, you know, kind of, as we've alluded to earlier, some of those Mourinho days and beyond, you can really revel in the success of the club. Follow us on socials, we're where you'd expect us to be, and engage with the Echo as much as you please. We'd like you to do it lots. Tell your pals, family, etc. Spread the word about us. We're growing just like Chelsea, and we're going to conquer the world. So come with us all the way. And as we said at the very start, obviously a very busy week for not just Chelsea, but football in general. So we will have not just a preview for Manchester United away, which Tobes is going to. We will also have a double helping of spoilers for you too, because there are a lot of games this week. So catch those where you normally listen to your podcasts. And we will be with you again very soon. Cheers.